elders that I think so much of, and well, I think a lot of, and highly of all of you, but there's a lot of you that I do think a lot of, and I enjoy listening to your preaching, and we rely heavily, I know new in the ministry, we rely heavily on y'all's knowledge and wisdom. We're not putting you on a pedestal, but I do believe God puts us in positions that we meet people that helps us through with our ministries and everything, and I'm just so thankful for that. You just can't, I can't tell you how much thankful I am for that. We had an opportunity last week, I think it was, I can't remember, me and Brother Danny come down and met with Brother Mike, and that's a good example that, that I'm talking about. We had an opportunity to talk and to have some fellowship, and it's just the joy of being able to come together and to hear God's Word. That just, I'm sorry I get emotional, but it just means a lot to me. So, but this morning, what I want to talk about a little bit, if you don't mind, I want to talk about the church and the purposes of the church. What we're here to do this morning. We know in Acts tells us, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." I've been preaching on fellowship and stuff the last several weeks, so I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about that this morning. If you don't mind, just bear with me. I feel like when we talk about the church, some of the aspects that we have, the five purposes of the church that I've been preaching on the last several weeks back home in my church, is we've got worship, we got fellowship, we got discipleship, we got ministry, and we've got a mission. I feel like that we as individuals, not only as elders and pastors and preachers, but as individuals within the church themselves, we all have this mission that we need to be doing today. I think a lot of times we don't do enough of it. I think we need to get out and understand what God has put before us and what we're supposed to be doing as He did with His disciples, and showing through the worship and fellowship and the ministries that we have. It's so important to understand why we are here today. And most importantly, it's for the fellowship. I tell you, brothers and sisters, this world needs more fellowship.
Amen.
Jesus talked about that, all His ministry here on earth, when He was here, fellowship, about Him and the Father and the Holy Spirit was one. They come together, and He preached it and taught it, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to lay aside all this malice and all this hatred and discord that we so easily fall into because of our natural sin nature that we have, and to put back and bring back those two important things that I feel like that is part of this purposes of the church. I believe that those five purposes of the church are derived from those two great commandments. Those two great commandments. We've heard them, but do we actually think about them and meditate on them every day of our lives? So if you have your Bibles with you, the first one I want to talk about this morning is Matthew chapter 22. So we'll turn over to Matthew chapter 22. And this is the great commandment. Most everybody is familiar. I'm hoping most everybody is familiar with this. And a lot of times with our life, as busy as it gets, and how we get so twisted out of shape and so forth, I tell people it's good to kind of go back to the basic. Go back to the understanding of what Jesus wants us to do. Not only as ministers, but as participants, as children of God, as people who loves our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 22, verse 37, He says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind."
Amen.
Now, when we sit and meditate on that, brothers and sisters, first and foremost, do we do that? Do we understand that? Do we have the capability to do what the Lord has commanded us to do right here in verse 37? This is the first and great commandment. This is an understanding that we have within our hearts. I talked last Sunday at church, and I told some of our people there at the church, I said, not picking on some of our older people that's been in the ministry and been in the church for a long time, but I said, can you go back to that moment that God revealed His love unto you, and God showed His grace upon you, and you had that, I call, aha moment, or that effectual feeling, that effectual call that you had, knowing that there is something better. Do you remember that? Do you remember it? Do we cherish it? Do we carry it around with us every day of our lives, in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our minds, so that we understand what the purpose that we have when we come to church, that we understand that we worship and we fellowship and we have this discipleship, so that we tell others of who we are and what we are and what we're doing. Now, we don't Bible beat them to death. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I think that we don't go out and fellowship and show people the love of our Lord and Savior that we have because of the grace that He showed us before the foundation of the world. Yeah. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, that is such a great gift that He has given us. That I understand to be the truth and understanding of who we are through these great commandments. And then He goes on and tells us, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. This is His understanding, how these are derived from, the purposes of the church. If we take these two instances and derive them into these five purposes of the church, it makes a meaning, it makes an understanding so we know who we are and where we are in life. The second one was the Great Commission. Turn over to chapter 28 in Matthew. Most everybody knows this one. Most everybody knows this one. Matthew chapter 28. Go down to verse 19. Well, we'll read 18, 19, 20. Matthew chapter 28, 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that I am, that I is personal. He's saying this I, that's personal, and am is present. I'm personal and I'm present. I'm telling you, this is what we need to be doing. And brothers and sisters, we far too often fall short of this mission that we have in life. This understanding of what the church means to us through the years. And for us to be able to say that we can honestly say that our church is our church, God's church, through His love and understanding of grace, has been around for a long, long time. And we'll be here now and we'll be here even after we're gone. But the beauty of it is, and I tell people through this purpose of where we are in life, that we have to understand that when we have this understanding of what God wants us to do through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we understand that these purposes of the church, we can even break it down into these, what I call these four demands or these four principles of where we are in life. No matter whether it's worship, fellowship, discipleship, and ministry, or in your mission. Four things. We share the Word. We show the Word. We teach the Word. And we serve the Word. What is the Word? We know what the Word is. The Word is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. There in John 1 tells us that. We know who that is. We don't do enough of that. I see today in the world, in the society that we live in, that we need to bring God back into the churches, back into our homes, back into to our government, back into our schools, because we have toned Him out.
Amen.
We didn't lose Him, and He didn't lose us. He's been there the whole time. Our problem is we've turned our back on Him.
That's right.
Far too often we've done that. But you know, even when things get to the point that it seems like there's no hope here on this rent civil world that we live in, it's a shame that a gentleman, a couple of months ago, football, got severely hurt. It's a shame that happened. But I look at it like this. God shows His grace through so many things in life. And through that, we look for the positive. And you know what I've seen? I've seen commentators, ESPN sports commentators, who's probably never even mentioned God in their whole life in front of the TV, was praying in front of the TV. Everybody was coming together, praying and praying, and God this and God that. Isn't that great? Why can't we do that all the time? The beauty of knowing what God has done for us so that we get out and we show people. And like I said, we understand that we share the Word and we show the Word and we teach the Word and we serve the Word because that is who we are and what we are supposed to be doing. So many times people tell me, well, I know you Primitive Baptists. I know how you are with this grace, y'all. You're a child of God. You don't have to do anything because for a foundation. I said, no, that's not the case. No, no. Brother, let me tell you something. That's not the case. We have a lot to do here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And we have fallen short of it.
And through these five purposes that I believe the church is responsible for, through the understanding, especially, most importantly, through fellowship, so that we can spread the Word, we can share the Word, we can show the Word, we can teach the Word, and we can, most importantly, serve the Word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The simplest question that I ask people today is, does people see Jesus in you? That hurts a lot of times, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We understand through this total depravity and this understanding that we have an issue, we have a problem with this sin because of this natural aspects of wanting to do bad and wanting to do this instead of turning and doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's why Jesus continually said, love, 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 love.
Amen.
Did people see Jesus in Jesus when He was here? Absolutely did. People came from all over to see the things that He was doing, seeing the things that He was showing and so forth. And then we have people that do that sometimes. Me and Brother Dan was talking about this on the way home the other evening. You know, the problem a lot of times that we see is people come for the blessing, but they don't come for the message.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I want the blessings, but I don't want to hear what I have to do to get this blessing. Well, we know what happens when you come in front of God and you give a blessing that's not sincere, that's not truthful, and so forth. If you don't believe me, go back and read Cain and Abel. Through the years as we grow up, through the years of understanding what the Word means to us, and so forth, through grace and the love that we have, and what the Word means to us, over and over again, this is the understanding of who we are today.
Amen.
In our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell people, we sum it up real simply, the author and finisher of our faith. There's nothing that we had to do to finish where He left off.
Right.
There you go.
That's a big misconception. Well, all I have to do is this, all I need to do is that, and so forth. All you need to do is what you have been commanded to do by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and understand that you have a purpose here. You have a mission here on earth to do the things that you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Sharing, showing, teaching, and serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, I tell people, sometimes when we understand this mission and where we are in life, it's a lot harder to do what we are commanded to do in today's society because of where we are and the way the majority, I hate to say it, but the majority of the world thinks.
Right.
We've gotten away from that, brothers and sisters. And that's the understanding that I have here. And I hope that we understand the importance of where we are and what we're supposed to be doing. When we talk about these individuals, these disciples, when Jesus sent them out to do what they're supposed to be doing, He gave specific instructions, things that they needed to do, and the joy that they had and the understanding of who they were, it was always so important to Him. Turn over to Luke real quick. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Got Luke chapter 9. Then we've got the 12 sent forth here. And when we talk about the discipleship, there's so much that we talk about here, but there's so much when we talk about discipleship and understanding that discipleship is demanding. Now, we understand that. And we know in Luke chapter 14, Jesus demands that His followers make Him the absolute top priority in their lives.
Right. Yeah.
Now, didn't we just hear that a few minutes ago? Didn't Jesus just say that back in Matthew? Absolutely. I'm number one. I got to be first. With all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Nothing else is as important as me. Not me, but Jesus Christ. That's what He is telling them. That's what He is saying to them. So that we understand, even here, we're reading a little bit here in Luke chapter 9, but Luke chapter 14, when we're talking about that, That's a demand. Three times Jesus makes that demand and says unequivocally that if anyone cannot meet that demand, I guess we probably should have read 14 so you know what I'm talking about if you don't know where I'm at. But that demand, such a person cannot be my disciple. He plainly states that. Plainly states that. That's in verses 26, 27, 33. If we have time, we'll read that. Jesus is giving us a balance here between salvation, which is that free gift of God through His grace and His understanding and His foreknowledge, which we can't even wrap our minds around.
Right.
But most importantly, and discipleship, which is what we're all involved with, what we're all supposed to be doing.
Yes.
Which is what? Very costly. Why is it costly? Well, I don't have time. You know, I ain't got the time. I ain't got the effort. I don't have the energy. I just don't have that feeling. I just don't have that. Well, have you ever stopped and maybe turn around and looked at yourself in the mirror and think to yourself, and go back to what I was saying, brothers and sisters. Go back to understand the love that God has given you, even before you even knew He gave it to you.
Right.
The person that is you. And who knows you better than yourself? God does.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know what? He still loves you.
Yes.
How can you not forget that? How can you not understand that this is something He has done before the foundation of the world, before you was even who you might have been through grandparents and grandparents to the day that you are today, knowing that no matter what anybody does to you, no matter what anybody says to you, no matter where you wind up in life, no matter what you do in your life, Jesus Christ loves you.
Amen.
That's better than $1 million.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. You know, I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, you know, if somebody gave me $1 million and all I had to do was, you know, this, 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 and this, I think I could do that. And I just simply said, well, you know what? What if somebody come to you and said, I'm going to give you eternal life and all you have to do is do what you're commanded to do? Why do we have such a hard time with that? Faith is a hard thing. It's something that we can't see. It's something that we can't pick up and hold and tangible and move around and so forth. Faith is that substance that we can't see. But we know it's there. Why? Because it's in our hearts.
Yeah.
Those commandments have been written in our hearts and in our minds and in our thoughts and in our soul. For somebody who has given us more than we could ever possibly obtain in this world. Because everything else is trivial. Everything else will decay and deteriorate and fall away except for the love and the eternal joy that we have coming towards us.
Amen.
That's our problem, why we have a hard time understanding, why we have a hard time learning and trying to serve our Lord, is because, brothers and sisters, we are supposed to be in the world, not of the world. But it's so easy to get involved with that. And it's so easy to miss the mark of where we are. Well, if that's the case, even if we're in the world or of the world, what are we supposed to be doing? Are we supposed to be sitting around and not worrying about nothing because we are to learn of God and we've got it all down pat and we're not supposed to? No, that's not the case. Because I believe this. Me and Brother Danny's talked about this, and I believe this in my heart. We suffer as a result of sin, not because of sin. So what we need to be doing is we need to be understanding that while we're here, God loves us so much, just like we do our own children, that He will discipline us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you don't believe me, I believe there's a verse in the Bible where He talks about that vine cutting and He prunes us and gets us in the direction we need to be going. I tell people, you ever wonder why nothing's going right in life? Nothing seems to be going the way you want it to be going. You're not happy. You're not content. You're not this. You're not that, and so forth. Take a minute. Stop. And turn to the one person that has that answer. Let go of the steering wheel. Let Him have it. Be still and pray. And understand that He is there for us. He has always been there for us. And He has the way. He is the truth and the light and the way. We understand it because He has told us that. But we push it aside so often. Luke chapter 9. He talks about these 12 that He sent forth to preach. Then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And He said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. Now, you know what I love about that? I grew up Southern, hardcore Southern Missionary Baptist. I grew up doing that. This little statement that he made right here, an understanding When we go out into the world and we share the gospel, we share God's word, if somebody doesn't get it, what does that mean? That means that it has not been revealed to them. That means what? That we move on. We don't Bible beat them to death. We don't threaten them. We don't do any of that. That's not our job. We go and love and care and do all that we're supposed to be doing for individuals so that we understand that they go around and as they said here, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The 12 sent forth. Then we go over to Luke chapter 9, go down to verse 23. Here's a test of discipleship. Here's his test again. We talk about discipleship and you see what they're doing. And he says, and he said to all to them all, this is verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Kind of sounds like what he was hitting on earlier, doesn't it? This is the whole message, the whole theme of what Jesus is telling us to do. We have to set past and put aside all this material substances that corrupts us and let us know that there is only one important thing in life that we have, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have to understand that. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, and of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and his Father and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Knowing what they were doing, knowing that there's this test, this discipleship, this test of knowing who they are, what they're supposed to be doing, then you shoot over to verse 57. There's another test here. It says in verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, and it came to pass that as they went in their way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where he lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Uh-oh. See? God's not number one in our life. We have so many things in front of us, so many things that are out there that we need to step aside and know that when Jesus tells us or asks us to do something, that's what we do. Well, I ain't got time. We got to do this. We got to do that. No, that's not the case. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. See, there's that these demands of the discipleship that he's going through. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. We as humans have excuses for everything, don't we? If we don't, we can come up with it just as good as a lie. That's unfortunately, this little thing that the Bible talks about so often, if you don't believe me, read James. James will tell you all about this little thing. It causes so much trouble for us. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus always got an answer. Why? Because he already knows the answer before we even give him the answer. He already knows that. The understanding of these discipleships and so forth. And then you go over to Luke chapter 10. He sends 70 out. He's going to send 70 out now. And when we look at the 70, and we understand what they're doing, we understand that they're in the same boat. They're doing the same thing. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. It's not going to be easy. Nothing we do in life for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be easy.
Right.
Nothing. Nothing. It wasn't for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Carry neither purse nor scrip. He tells them the same thing. Whatsoever home you enter first, peace be to this house. And he basically tells them what he told them. But in whatsoever city ye enter, this is verse 10, and they receive ye not, go your ways out of the streets of the same, and say, even the dust of your very city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable than the day of Sodom, than for that city. Now, I like to believe, and I like to understand, when we read the Bible, you need to, of course, know who wrote it, but you need to know who it was written to. I think that's very important. A lot of people miss that mark. They say, well, that's in, you gotta understand who this is written to. Through all of the years, from the very beginning, man has created. There's no telling how many different denominations, different beliefs. Man has created those. We know that. The Bible speaks about some of them. But you know what started? Believers and non-believers. Isn't it that simple? Where did we make it so complicated? Either you believe or you don't believe. So what does that make you? That makes you either a child of God or not a child of God. Because if we understand what we're supposed to be doing and where we're supposed to be in life, we understand how all this comes together. Even in Luke chapter 14, he talks about being tested again. But Luke chapter 14, go down to verse 25, I think it is. Yeah. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father. Now these terms that we talked about, we understood this here. This is Matthew, when we talked about this, that loving our Lord, we have, you know, he's got to be number one. He gets a little bit more in depth right here. If any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Mm. Think about that. And whatsoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Then he gives us a couple of little parables there. The parable of the tower, the parable of the king going to war, and then the parable of the savorless salt. Verse 34, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, what? Let him hear. You don't understand also, I say you don't, but I hope you do. We don't understand, not only sometimes we have to reflect what God has done for us through His grace and His love of us, but we also have to understand what God has done for us through that mystery. Knowing that He has revealed something to you. He has showed you something and not everybody's going to see. Not everybody's going to get. How personal is the Word of God to you?
Right.
Knowing what it has done for you. Knowing what it has done for me. To come before Him. Thank God for our Mediator, Jesus Christ. Knowing and showing what He has done for us through the years of our life and what we're supposed to be doing and what we're wanting to be doing, that's how we adjudicate and justify His grace that we move forward through them demands and through them purposes of the church and what we're supposed to be doing through sharing, showing, teaching, and serving the Word of God Almighty. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
And we don't look for a pat on the back. We don't look to be put up on a pedestal. We know we're not supposed to do that. But you know what? When we come together with fellowship like we are here this morning, on a Friday morning, and I hope the Lord blesses each and every one of you for being here today, because you have taken time out of our busy schedules to be here, and most importantly, to fellowship and to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
How precious is that, brothers and sisters?
Yeah, right.
You want to see a miracle, it's right here this morning.
Amen.
And it'll be here tomorrow morning on a Saturday morning. People have a hard time making it to church for an hour, 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Praise God, they come on Fridays and Saturdays. Isn't that a great thing?
Amen.
Loving and understanding what He has done for us, brothers and sisters. For that, I'm so thankful. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I don't know how long I'm supposed to be going, but... Until I'm done, okay. My wife kind of gives me those little, you know, you've done too many. I've learned back home, but.
Who knows?
But knowing and understanding what the Lord has done for us, brothers and sisters, how important it is, and knowing that all this stuff comes first. In likelihood, it's kind of simple. We know it. We understand it. But do we apply it? As children of God, do we apply it through the knowledge that He has given to us? And we as preachers, that's what we try to do. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, and I'll be the first to say it. There's a big difference between being a preacher and a pastor.
Yeah. Amen.
When I got called to pastor last August, you talk about something that will humble you. I'll just say it's been a hard road. But through my Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and understanding what I'm supposed to be doing, and praise the Lord for you senior elders, my father in the ministry, Brother Danny, he's my personal psychiatrist sometimes. But knowing that we have the opportunity to look at these individuals. Brother Josh, I envy you, brother, because you got a man sitting right there. The 2 hours we were with him last week just meant so much to me. Because this is what we want to do. This is what God has put in front of us. This is the helpers that God has given us, ministers, so that we understand what y'all have already been through. You've been there and done that. You understand this. Which helps us, being new in the ministry, to help our flock, to help our people within our church, to say, look, this is what we need to do. This is how we do what we're supposed to be doing. Through the love and fellowship of each other, coming together, not disbanding, not going away and so forth. That fellowship needs to be more and more.
Amen.
More and more today.
Right.
And not only through fellowship, but that one important thing, which 2 John talks about this often, truth.
Yeah.
Understanding, what is the truth? We hear so much as far to the left, so much as far to the right. You know, sometimes we have to think, okay, well, far to the left, far to the right, we'll take it right in the middle and we'll kind of halfway believe that. Well, you know what? The one thing we can believe is right here in front of us.
Amen. Amen.
Because contrary to popular belief, I believe every word in here. Not just some of it because it fits the moment.
Right.
Not just some of it because I don't like to hear it talk about, I don't want to preach it, I don't want to do this and so forth.
Right.
We had this conversation last Sunday and I tell people, these are the things that we have to preach. These are the things And Brother Mike, I keep picking on you and Brother Danny, but I love y'all so much. And Brother Mike was talking about something. And he said that's because it wasn't taught them. And you don't know how that has rung true in my heart. That is our responsibility.
Yeah, amen.
To preach the bad things that nobody wants to hear, along with the good things that everybody wants to hear.
Right.
I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need to put the fire back in the pulpit and show people. We don't Bible people to death, but we understand that we know the truth and we love the truth, that we want to share it with people and show people what this means to us.
Yeah, right.
It does to me. And I know it does to the new in the ministry. Brother Josh, I'm sure it does to him too. Knowing that we're learning, and there is a learning curve here. There is these trials and errors that we have, but knowing that we can come together, especially like today. That all you people come together for one purpose. Well, two, fellowship and to hear the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the solution to our problems in society. But nobody wants to hear that. Why? Because it doesn't quite fit in with their lifestyle. It doesn't quite fit in with the way they're thinking. It doesn't quite fit in with the way they're doing things. You know what I got? We don't have a say in this. God is not going to change for us.
Amen. Right?
Okay? I tell people that. God's not going to change for us. That is our responsibility to do what we are commanded to do what we're instructed to do.
Right.
Through that Holy Spirit, that mediator that left us, this Holy Spirit that is in us and guides us, and that I call that unction. That unction, as he says in John, that unction, if you have that unction, you're going to want to do this. That's what makes it so much easier. to do what we're supposed to be doing through all these things that Jesus has told us to do. And that's the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and understanding who we are. And for that, I'm so thankful for the opportunities that God has given me through my life. He has blessed me all my life, even as a little child growing up. And most importantly, today, even though that I picked up that cross and I'm following, but it sure gets heavy sometimes, doesn't it, fellas? It gets heavy sometimes. But knowing that we have that one person that we can turn to, that one person who has all of our answers, has all of our solutions, the author and finisher of our faith, nothing, in my opinion, is impossible. If we stick to the truth, fellowship, and love of each other through those five purposes that we have within our churches. We may be different churches, but you know what? We're all in the same boat together. Amen. We're all rowing towards the same cause. That's the beauty of God's Word and the beauty of what we meant to be. And for that, I'm so happy. I'm so honored to be here this morning. I mainly came to hear some of you seasoned preachers. I get a lot. What I think we talked about, your ammunition fits my gun, just like, you know, so sometimes we steal ideas and so forth. I watch a lot of you on the internet and so forth, and we brings a lot of things to me, and I do appreciate that. But I do appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. May God bless this meeting all through this weekend. May God bless each and every one of our elders that are seated here today, that the Lord continually lead you and guide you. I tell people we don't retire. We keep going. I think me and brother was talking the other day, and he said something about pay's not that good, but the retirement is great. So for that, we're so thankful. And for that, I'm so thankful to be here. May God bless you is my prayer this morning.
Amen. How sweet.